Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, and filling in for David tonight, Frank Briscoe, who preaches for the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas. Frank's going to be doing double duty tonight. He's also in charge of the board and telephone calls, and we're thankful that Frank is able and willing to be a partner with us in this and does a great job in helping us out. We're airing tonight on KTX 97.7 out of Eastland, KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford, Texas. We're also broadcasting on KQMK 1680 AM out of Hydro, Oklahoma. And we're airing on the Gospel Radio Network. And we're thankful that for our listeners, and we want to remind you also that this program will re-air tomorrow on Tuesday at 7 a.m. Every program that we do on Monday night is re-aired on Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. This is a live call-in program. If you'd like to get involved with the discussion, with a question or a comment, we encourage you to call in. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Now, our motto is and has always been, you have heard what men have said. Now, let's hear what the Bible has to say. We want to remind you of our sponsors for this program. We're being sponsored by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, located on Ten Top Road, and also the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas. And again, we're delighted to have you in our audience tonight. Now, remember, this is a live call-in program. The number to call, if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. A great spiritual truth is proclaimed in the statement, we know not what the future holds, but we know him who holds the future. No one can truthfully deny that the future is in the hands of God. Now, this doesn't mean that God causes everything to happen that will happen in this new year, but he is certainly capable of knowing what will happen and is able to cause good to come to his people through his providence. Now, Frank, none of us know what is specifically going to happen this year, do we?
That's true, Tom, but, you know, there are those things that life and experience tells us is going to happen, and there are those things that we can do in order to take advantage of or to make the best of the situations that come to us in life. You know, God tells us that, you know, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that should also reap. That's good or that's bad. Mm-hmm. We sow to one or the other. But if we sow what we should, then God will see to it that we reap what is good.
And so if enough people then sow righteousness, this year will bring peace and prosperity and good blessing and happiness. But on the other hand, if people sow evil, this year will bring war and poverty and corruption and unhappiness. Sodom, Gomorrah, Israel, Judah brought destruction upon themselves by sinful conduct. Well, based on what has happened in the past, we know generally what this year is going to bring forth. And we're going to be thinking about later in the lesson, what are we going to do about that? Frank, what is one of the things that this year is going to bring forth?
Okay, Tom, in 2 or 3 days, Thursday, on the news, there's going to be an announcement made, and they're going to say, here is the first baby born in the year 2015. The year that's coming is going to bring forth new life.
You know, in the creation, God established the principle of vegetable and animal life that would produce after its kind from the seed planted. And in order that human life must be sustained and be able to propagate the earth, you know, this year there will be brought forth the birth of new babies to some of our relatives, our neighbors, to our friends, and perhaps even to some in our own family. But God, He tells us that babies, they're really a great happiness to homes. And in that, we're reminded really of the power of God when we think about how that babies add so much to life. In Psalm 127, in verse 3, it says, "Lo, children are a heritage of Jehovah, and the fruit of the womb is in His reward." Blessings of a child. When babies are born into the world, Frank, what are some other things that really these babies bring to us in life?
You know, no one can look at a baby and not feel a love for the baby and a joy at the beginning of a new life. It's so important to us to look and to see these things and to know that here is an opportunity, here is a new life. God is still in control, and that this is the way that that it is intended for life to be and for us to be, insofar as the beginning each year and each time of a new life.
You know, Frank, as much as a new birth into the life and into our world brings us great joy and brings us happiness, there's also a great deal of responsibility that's involved when we're having to care for them physically. And more importantly, and we're going to talk a lot more about this a little bit later, but also we have the responsibility to teach them about God and to teach them about righteousness.
You know, when we see a baby and we know that life lies before them and the influence and the effect that we have and the responsibility that we have in regards to teaching and being with those children. You know, it's interesting along that how many different times in the New Testament the Christian is referred to as beginning as a new babe in Christ. You know, here's purity. You know, here is that which we see and can and know and love in the innocence of a child.
Exactly. You know, so the Bible talks about us training up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. That shows us a little bit about the responsibility that we have. But, you know, this new year, Frank, not only is there going to be life, new life that is brought forth in this year, but this new year is also going to bring forth death.
You know, when we read, we're aware of the fact that the Hebrew writer tells us that it is appointed unto man once to die. After this comes the judgment. The idea that he is expressing there was in regards to the Old Testament priest and the Old Testament high priest, but because he was human, he was going to die, and there was going to be another priest that would have to follow him. But the lesson that comes to us from that is the knowledge and the understanding that one thing is certain, and that is death.
Exactly. Solomon said it this way in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 4, "One generation goeth, another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever." At least that's how it seemed to him at this point in his life. He's telling us that people die. You know, we we are all going to be aware, and we're going to have maybe friends that pass away, loved ones are going to pass away, and there's no doubt that numerous physical tragedies this year are going to occur as they were last year.
You know, sometimes we don't like to talk about death, but the reality of it is seen all of the time. We know that death is going to come, and consequently, with it comes responsibility.
You know, actually, Frank, we're confronted with it every single day. Newspapers, television, you know, announcements. People are dying every single day, and some of them are dying very tragically, killed in car wrecks, airplanes, crashes, sea tragedies.
You know, airplane went missing. When we came down here, the last time I saw the news, they still hadn't found what happened to the airplane 24, 36 hours ago that just disappeared. Almost 200 people aboard.
So there are going to be people who die tragically, people who die of starvation and murder, and there are going to be many people who simply die of old age or by accident of disease. But, Frank, to the Christian, death is not the end, is it?
That's absolutely right, Tom. You know, Jesus in John chapter 5 speaks concerning the resurrection, and he speaks of both, but one of them is the righteous. They're going to be raised to life. That we understand that for the Christian, that as Paul viewed it, and Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, that death is a passing from one place to another, and it's not viewed by the Christian as it's viewed by those of the world.
Exactly. You know, Paul said it this way, and in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13, he says, "But we would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them that fall asleep, that you sorrow not even as the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also that are fallen asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we that are alive, that are left unto the coming of the Lord, shall in no wise precede them that are fallen asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive, that are left, shall together with them be caught up in the air to the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." These are comforting words for a Christian. And no doubt, Frank, we're going to have some of our Christian friends who are going to die this year.
So what we're saying then, as we approach the new year, without knowing the specifics, but we know the general things that it's going to be, that there's going to be the beginning of new life. There's going to be the babies that are born. And there's going to be death.
Exactly.
There's going to be the loss of friends and loved ones. Death will come.
It happened last year. It's going to happen this year. And as long as time is, this is going to happen. Now, remember the number to call tonight. If you'd like to get in on the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We're talking tonight about some things that are inevitably going to be happening this year. And in the second part of our program tonight, we're going to be talking about some things that we need to be doing this year. Sometimes they're called, resolutions. We make resolutions every single year. And really, even Bible men and women would make resolutions. They're hoping to change their life for the better. But for now, this year is going to bring forth life. It's going to bring forth death. But this year will also bring forth temptation to sin, just like it has every year in the past.
You know, in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, the Revelation writer there goes into great lengths to tell us the things that Satan has done in an effort to foil the plan of God. way back in the Old Testament, from the garden on down, Satan repeatedly did what he possibly could to foil or to stop the plan of God for the redemption of man. And when that chapter ends, it ends by simply telling us that, you know, the devil never quits. And when he cannot destroy the Savior, we cannot keep him in death, then, as the last verse tells us, and the dragon waxed wroth with the woman and went away to make war with the rest of her seed that keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it's a statement made there by the Spirit to us that Satan is making war with the individual Christian. In the new year, we will face temptation.
You know, Peter said it this way, that be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. We can count on the devil trying with every means possible to get us to sin. He's done it in the past. He's going to do it this year. He will do it throughout time.
All right, with that understanding and knowing that this is going to be what Satan is going to do, how can we deal with the temptations that are going to come?
Well, you see, in James chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, "Be subject therefore unto God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you." We know we're going to have to resist temptation. We're going to have to put forth the effort involved. He talks about resist him. That's action involved. And we're going to have to put forth great effort. You know, in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 15, Paul gives us also some encouraging words, doesn't he, Frank, when it comes to resisting temptation?
He absolutely does. As he speaks to the church there in Corinth and the problems that they've had, in that statement, he tells us that, in verse 13, there is no temptation taken you but such as man can bear. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will, with the temptation, make also the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Mm-hmm.
So God is going to provide us what we need so that we don't have to give in to temptation. And that's powerful encouragement for every one of us. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 11, "Thy word have I laid up in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Now, knowing the fact that we are going to be involved in temptation, that just shows us how important it is for us to be willing to do everything in our power, you know, to resist.
Probably the greatest example that we have of that is the temptations of Jesus.
Exactly.
That when the Satan came and appeared to Jesus and tempted him, Jesus answered each time, "It is written."
Mm-hmm. So he used the word of God, did he?
He used the word of God for the strength that he needed.
And that's what we need to do also. And so when we think about this coming year, there is going to be new life. There is going to be death. There is going to be the temptation to sin. But, you know, Frank, this year will also bring forth opportunities. Opportunities for us to serve and to help our fellow man. And would you not say that we need more of that in our modern day?
You know, Paul, when he wrote to the Galatians concerning the opportunities that they was going to have, that they were to, in the sixth chapter, in verse 10, he said, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us work that which is good toward all men, and especially toward them that are of the household of faith."
Mm-hmm.
We will have opportunities. We will have opportunities to do that which is good.
And I guess the question for us is, are we going to be willing to take advantage of our opportunities?
Are we going to be ready when the opportunity presents itself?
Exactly. You know, sometimes people, I've heard, are unable to see opportunity because it goes around disguised as hard work. You know, so, but Solomon said in Ecclesiastes at chapter 9 and verse 10, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in Sheol whither thou goest. In other words, our time is now. And whatever opportunities that we have before us, we need to set forth all the effort that we can muster because, well, once we've died, there's no more opportunity.
You know, Paul, in the letter that he wrote to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 15, he said, "Look therefore carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." Mm-hmm. Well, very simply, what he is saying there is look and take advantage of the opportunity of the time.
Tonight, this is a live call-in program, and we encourage you to call in. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. You can also get involved in the chat room. You go to the Gospel Radio Network. At the bottom of the page there, you'll see a place where you can sign in and be a part of the discussion tonight. We want to remind you tonight that we're talking about the new year. The new year's coming. And what are we going to expect to happen in this new year? Well, we can't know for sure, but based upon things that have happened in the past, we know that this new year is going to bring forth life. And that it's going to bring forth death. We know that in this coming year there is going to be temptation to sin. And we also know, whether we realize it or not, whether or not we want to take advantage or not, there are going to be opportunities for us to serve our fellow man. Frank, ready or not, the new year is now upon us. And I just wonder how you and I and our listeners are going to use our time in this upcoming year.
What will the new year find us doing? Doing different? Doing better? What will it find us in the new year?
You know, will we set our affections on things that are above, or are we going to set our affections on the things of this earth? Colossians 3 and verse 2. And what we choose, affections on things above or our affections on things below, that's going to affect what we do in this life. And so why don't we challenge ourselves to do more for the Lord's work in this year, 2015 coming up, than we have ever done in the past?
There are so many different areas in our life where we can challenge ourselves, where we know that there are those things that we can do that will enrich our life, be better for us, and be better for our families, be better for those that we meet from day to day.
And so, why don't we demand of ourselves that we be more spiritual minded? Why don't we demand of ourselves to be more kingdom oriented in this coming year? Frank, we can do it. And our listeners out there, we can do this. We can do more for the Lord this year than we have ever done in the past if we will simply put our minds to it. We need to make a resolution, if you will, to do this very thing. And Frank, when we think about resolutions, you know, a lot of people make resolutions and they break resolutions, and probably everybody at least in some way makes a resolution every year. But did not Paul in the book of Philippians make a resolution?
Right, in Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, Paul wrote, he said, "Not that I have already obtained or am already made perfect, but I press on, if so be that I may lay hold on that which is also I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things that are before me."
And so Paul realized that he was going, and we talked a little bit about that a while ago, Frank, before the program, about that word stretching forward. That's a word that really carries the idea of much effort involved. And so Paul realized the importance of great effort in going forward. And is that not what a resolution is all about?
It is. And it is the recognition, and we recognize it. A resolution that is for our good is not going to necessarily be easy. Mm. It's going to require an effort on our part.
Exactly.
It really matters not which direction our resolution goes. You know, there's some people that make resolutions, I'm going to quit, you know, mm-hmm. doing this or that, something mm-hmm. that they felt that they should not be doing. Well, if they keep that resolution, it's going to take some effort. It's going to take some work on their part.
And you know, Frank, there are some very mundane resolutions that people make, but then what we want to talk about tonight, though, is really some very important changings that we need to be doing in our life. Now, tonight we're airing on KTX 97.7 FM out of Eastland, KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford, KQMK 1680 out of Hydro, Oklahoma. We're also airing on the Gospel Radio Network. Now, remember, this is a live call-in program. The number to call, if you would like to get in on the discussion with a question or comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Before we get into the rest of our program tonight, I'd like to mention our sponsors. We're being sponsored by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas, the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, and also the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas. Frank, tonight we've talked about some things that are going to inevitably occur. There's going to be life given to this earth. There's going to be new births. There's going to be death. There's going to be the temptation to sin. There are going to be opportunities that are afforded us. But the question that we ask now for the remaining of our program tonight is this. Will the year 2015 find us doing more? Or will it find us just meeting the status quo, or perhaps even doing less? One of the things, Frank, that I think is really important, and I really harp on this a lot in Hamilton, is that we need to be involved in more serious Bible study.
You know, there's absolutely no reason why we can't acquire more knowledge of God's Word. There's no reason why we can't study it more. It's simply a matter of making that resolution, making up our mind, this is something I am going to do.
You know, and we need to study the Bible, Frank, because the Bible is of great value to our lives. You know, the psalmist says that his word, God's word, was a light unto his feet, and a lamp unto his feet, and a light unto his path. It showed him the way to go. And we all understand how difficult it is to walk in darkness. And there are a lot of people today, Frank, even those who are claiming spirituality, even those who claim to be Christians, they're walking in darkness. And I just noticed here on the chat box that Denny mentioned perhaps a resolution that Joshua made. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Is that not a resolution?
That is as great a resolution as one could possibly make.
Exactly. And so why not make a resolution to be more serious about our Bible study? You know, in James chapter 1, in verse 25, it says, "But he that looketh into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and so continueth, being not a hearer that forgetteth, but a doer that worketh, this man shall be blessed in his doing." There is great blessings, Frank, to those who are involved in serious Bible study.
All right. The book of Acts tells us, chapter 20, verse 32, speaking of the Word of God, which is able to build you up. Mm-hmm. The idea behind the statement that he makes there is this is what makes us strong. This is what enables us to do the things that we ought to do. We were mentioning there a moment ago, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, Psalms 119. Mm-hmm. You know, there's 176 verses, I believe, to that one psalm. And all of them but three refers to God's Word, His statutes, His ordinances, His commandments, and what they will do for our life. And, you know, if we will make the commitment to read, to study, then you can look through that one chapter and see all of the things that God's Word will do to help our life.
Frank, isn't it wonderful that God has given us His Word to show us the way of life? You know, how tragic is it that His children sometimes get so busy with the daily affairs of this life that they don't spend much time in studying the Bible? You know, as a minimum, why not set before us the task of reading the Bible completely through in the year 2015? Wouldn't that be a reasonable thing for us to do, a reasonable resolution to read the Bible through in 1 year?
And what a great blessing that would be to our life.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to read it from, as we'd say, from cover to cover, then a year's time, then how beneficial and helpful that would be for our life.
But, Frank, it takes discipline, doesn't it, to set aside time for reading and studying the Bible? But it can be done. But boy, is it worth it if we'll do it.
Absolutely. And you know, I think you mentioned something there, Tom. Sometimes we look at it and we think, you know, how big it is, how long it is, and how long it would take me to read all of it.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of reminds me when I was in college, when a class began at the beginning of the semester, the professor would give us what he called a syllabus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that syllabus was your requirement. This is what you've got to do. And you look at that, there's five books you have to read, there's two papers you have to write. You know, you look at it and you think, I can never do all of it. But then you remember, I've got 4.5 months.
Mm-hmm.
And if we will use those 4.5 months, then there's never was given more than we were able to do. And that's the way it is. Sometimes when people look at the Bible, they get to thinking, how long it would take me to read it. But Denny came back and 4 chapters a day. And that will get you through the Bible in a year's time.
So there are 929 chapters in the Old Testament, 260 in the New Testament. Now, just thinking about that is kind of like that syllabus you were talking about. It just seems overwhelming because that's a total of 1,189 chapters. But as Denny mentioned, and as I have here in my notes, if a person were to read the entire Bible in 1 year, she would really have to read just 3.25 chapters per week. And I don't know how everybody's reading ability is, but I think an average reader could read easily 4 chapters in a 30-minute period. Now, is that really too much to ask a person every single day to spend 30 minutes, at the very least, in reading of God's holy word?
It is something that every one of us have the ability to do. And we can sit down. It's just a matter of making that commitment, making that resolution. And, Tom, I think that one thing about that is you need to set aside a time. Not some time during the day, mm-hmm. I'll do this, but at this particular time, this is my time to sit down and read. And if we do that, it's going to be quite possible, in fact, easy for us to read our way completely through God's Word.
You know, we can go to bed 30 minutes later. We can wake up 30 minutes earlier. Why not start every day in prayer and reading the Word of God? You know, Frank, we can do no better than we know, can we?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And if we aren't involved in having a knowledge of God's Word and studying it, then we're not ever going to. Well, all the other things that we're going to talk about today, Frank, or this evening, aren't going to mean anything to us, and we will know nothing about them if we don't, first of all, give time to the studying of God's Word. It's crucial. It's not too much to ask.
And as you said, everything else revolves around the knowledge that we acquire of God's Word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about our faith. Where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing, hearing the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Unless we hear God's Word, we cannot have faith in Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him.
You know, I love to watch football, Frank, and what I do now most of the time is record the football game so that I can fast forward through the commercials. But, you know, Frank, that saves me at the very least, 30 minutes. Well, that's 30 minutes I've already saved. I guess I could spend that time doing what? Spending more time in God's book. You know, and so it's important for us. And, you know, and Denny puts up things like, you know, spend less time watching TV or less time on Facebook or YouTube or Twitter. There are lots of things that we can diminish, use less time, and find plenty of time for studying God's Word. And, you know, when it really boils down to it, Frank, the reason that people aren't reading their Bibles is that they're not spiritually minded. That's what it really gets down to.
You know, Tom, I was telling you before we got on the air about a situation where we were having a Bible bowl, something we done, all of us are somewhat familiar with, where one particular book or one particular section of the Bible is chosen, and the students of each grade are come together, and they have a time to study and then a time to answer all of the questions. And in doing this, I had one mama come to me one time and said, "I just don't think that's fair." And I said, "Why?" And she said, "Well, my daughter's not going to do it." Said, "She's one of the cheerleaders. She's got to do this at school." Said, "She's got so many other things." Said, "She doesn't have time for that, and it's not fair for you to ask her to do it." Well, where was her emphasis?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the thing that determines so many times whether or not we study or do God's Word.
You know, Frank, and that really leads in to our next resolution that we want to talk about, and that is, we need to give more diligent effort to teach our children. Now, the teaching of our children, Frank, is something that's very much emphasized in the Bible. For example, in our Bibles, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, Jehovah our God is one Jehovah. And thou shalt love Jehovah thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, and with all of thy mind. And these words which I command thee this day shall be upon thy heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy head, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thy house and upon thy gates." Frank, that whole passage talks about how that we need to make God a part of our life in every aspect of our life. You know, when you're sitting around the table, don't just talk about what happened at school or talk about the football game. Why don't we talk about God? Why don't we talk about the things of God? When we look at various things in life and we see something happen, why not make some kind of a spiritual application in our lives to the lives of our children? Constantly put before them the Word of God.
You know, years ago, one of the places where I was preaching, one of the elders, he was told me of something that had had a tremendous impact upon his life. When he grew up, every time they sat down to eat a meal, his mother's chair had a little shelf in the bottom of it. In that, she kept the Bible. Every time they sat down for a meal, she read a chapter before they ate. Family mm-hmm. come in, sit down. And here, this man was well up in years, but that was still something that he remembered dearly because it got him into a study of God's Word, and it showed the commitment that she had for her children.
You know, in Ephesians 6 and verse 4, it says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but nurture or bring them up in the chastening or the discipline and admonition of the Lord." Frank, I think that just like some people think they don't have time to read the Bible, I think our world many times gets so busy with the things of the world that they don't take time to speak of spiritual things with their family, which is quite the opposite of the fellow you just mentioned and how he was raised.
Yeah, when was the last time you heard a parent tell their child, you know, they come in and say, "Now then, before you can watch your favorite program, you've got to do your homework."
That's right.
What if you said, "Before you watch your favorite program, you've got to read your section of the Bible"?
Exactly. You know, so this requires, Frank, a serious effort from parents to teach their kids the Bible. Now, parents have a number of responsibilities to their kids, including providing for their material, physical education, their various social and recreational needs. However, the number one task for all Christian parents is to teach their children the will of the Lord and how to serve them faithfully. The problem is, Frank, they are more concerned with the physical many times than they are the spiritual.
Absolutely. I don't think that's not limited just to the parents. Mm-hmm. That's a problem that we all have to face, is where is our number one attention? What's most important?
You know, over my time in preaching, I've heard people, I say, "Well, where are your kids tonight?" "Well, they're at home doing their homework, or they're studying for a test." What they have just said to their children is that the physical is more important than the spiritual. And that is not parents teaching their children. And that tells us that the parents need to do a little teaching to themselves, don't they? Just the point that you just made.
Absolutely.
So when we think about this idea of things that we need to look forward to the future, resolutions, we need to make a resolution with ourselves that we're going to spend more, now we're talking serious time to Bible study. We mentioned 30 minutes a day, and I think 30 minutes as a minimum every day in giving attention to the Word of God. We need to be more diligent in teaching our children, yea, even our grandchildren. And Frank, if we could just get all parents to understand this great truth, then we would be moving forward, toward, and involved in progressing in terms of getting more dads and moms serious about teaching, being diligent in teaching their children the Bible. We need to teach our kids more in the year 2015.
That probably goes back to the first of the revolutions we was talking about a moment ago, about we need to set aside time for our study of the Bible, because if we don't study it and know it, we're not going to be able to teach our children.
Exactly. And Frank, that really leads into our next point. You're really doing a good job leading into our points tonight. But we also need more zeal in evangelism. Frank, we cannot teach that which we do not know. Is that not right?
That's an absolute truth.
And so Jesus, does he not, Frank, want all men to be able to hear the gospel? Is that not what the Great Commission's all about?
You know, the way that you expressed it, but why do we refer to it as the Great Commission?
We've been commissioned by Christ to go to do what?
To go into all of the world.
Exactly. And so, you know, and he tells us to go into all the world to teach every creature, you know, and to make disciples of all the nations. These is what he commissions he made. Mark 16, verse 15, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. We are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to make disciples of all the nations. And Christ had that desire so much that he would even die for that cause. The question that I have for us tonight is, do we share that same desire?
Okay, the zeal for evangelism, where can that go? You know, we kind of want to say, you know, I can't go overseas, I can't go to some place. Mm. But if we set before ourselves a goal mm-hmm. of one mm-hmm. or five or whatever of individuals around us, if it's no more than just going and invite them to church.
You know, a lot of the things that the regular member could do that's not, you know, not full of Bible knowledge but have some, everybody can invite somebody to services. Everybody can hand out a pamphlet of some sort. We can all do that.
And you know, it is a known fact that personal attention is what gets people's attention.
Mm-hmm.
We can have a meeting. I've gone through this for years. And it's good to have printed material, to put out announcements and put up a sign. But the people that visit your services 90% of the time or more will be someone that was personally invited.
Exactly right. And so it's important for us to think about the loss. Do we really want all men everywhere to be saved and go to heaven? Is that really what we want? If we do, then will we not share the... The gospel is good news, right, Frank?
Absolutely.
And so when we think about the idea of good news, let's just say, for example, you know, our good friend and David Harris has cancer, and he went through a bone marrow transplant, and he's in remission, but he's suffering from the consequences now of some of that lack of immune system. But let's just say, Frank, that you or I, we had the cure for cancer, that we could cure every cancer in the world. And if I had that, would you call that good news?
Absolutely.
And if we had that good news to cure cancer, how evil, how mean would we be to keep that back and share it with very few?
Absolutely. And you know, along with that, we can understand it a little bit. You know, if we hear something that is in the physical world good news, we can't wait to tell our neighbor.
Exactly.
Hey, did you hear?
Yeah.
And you know, we share it. And here's the greatest news the world has ever heard.
Exactly.
And yet we sometimes don't have the enthusiasm to go and share it with those that need to hear it.
So we need to have zeal, because those who are lost are going to be lost eternally. We don't like to. I don't care how mean we might people might. People don't usually like to see other people suffer.
No.
They don't like that. But are we willing to allow people to suffer for eternity simply because we have not shown forth enough zeal to share the good news with those round about us?
You know, there's a song in our songbook. We don't sing it probably as much as we should. But the ending of it is, when in the better land before the bar we stand, how deeply grieved our soul would be if someone lost one there looked at us in deep despair and said, "You never mentioned him to me."
That would be a heartbreaking moment, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
You know, I'm confident that in the coming year, all of us can work into our schedules more time for teaching Christ's gospel to the lost. And at the very least, spending time in inviting people to services, handing out various tracts, encouragement. Now, I know we live in a fast-paced and busy society, but sometimes we feel like we don't even have time for a breather. But honestly, don't you think, Frank, that we could take more time in the year ahead than we have in the past and try to discuss and the Bible with people and invite them? And should we not maybe have a goal, something like, I'm going to invite someone every day to come to services? Or maybe we start out with once a week I'm going to invite somebody. Once a week, I'm going to hand a pamphlet or a card to the service to someone every day. We can do that.
And you know, before we say, oh, well, they probably wouldn't read it, they wouldn't. You know, the most effective outreach program in religion today is the Watchtower Society. They put out more printed material probably than anyone else. And it doesn't cost a whole lot. And they figure the cost per individual. And when you get down to the cost per individual, it's not expensive at all.
Mm-hmm.
But they do it. Now, we look at them and we talk about them. And we don't. I had one come visit me the other day. But look at the commitment they have and the willingness that they have to get the material, to get the invitation out.
Now, if they have that much commitment in propagating error, how much commitment should we set forth in propagating that which is right and true?
True.
You know, it doesn't take that much effort. It's just got to have a little bit of want to. You know, we sing about seeking the lost, and we sing about anywhere with Jesus. If we sing those things, surely we can back up our claims by putting forth the effort to try to teach precious souls how to follow Jesus.
You know, sometimes we sing those songs kind of like another one. We sometimes sit in the pew and sing stand up for Jesus.
Or all to Jesus I surrender, or really, have you? So we're talking tonight in the second half of our program tonight about perhaps some New Year's resolutions that we need to be involved in. We need to, first of all, to begin with, to be more serious in our Bible study, because I think everything revolves around that. If we don't have that kind of love for God and His Word, then all of these other things aren't going to follow suit. We also need to be more diligent in teaching our children, and in that, showing them the proper example, because they're not going to be willing to go where we're not willing to go. We need to be involved in more evangelism, having zeal in evangelism. But also, Frank, I think we also need to be simply more involved in visitation. Now, sometimes that might be the easiest for some people, but I think for a lot of times people spend most of their time cooped up in their house, isolated in their house, and aren't really involved enough in visiting those who are in need. And sometimes even preachers can fall into that trap, staying in their office all day long and studying all day long and then never getting out with the people. We need to be involved in visiting, don't we, Frank?
Absolutely. And you know, we never know. Well, maybe we oughtn't say it that way, but it's hard to explain how much good a visit does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how it may change the life. Now, you know, sometimes I've talked to people about we need to visit. Well, if I go visit, I don't know what to say. Well, you know, many times you don't have to say anything.
No.
Just show up. Just be there. And what an encouragement that is to those that are needing a lift at that time.
You know, when I was a young preacher, Frank, and there was an older preacher who was about your age then. He's now passed on. But he was kind of showing me a few things about the preaching profession, and we were going to go visit somebody who had died. And I said, what do we say? What do we say to somebody who's dying? And I remember, like it was yesterday, that old preacher says, well, you don't need to say anything. There are no magical words to be said. Just being there with them speaks volumes of your love and appreciation for them. And so, you know, a lot of times, Frank, when we go and visit, we can say things that really do more harm than good.
That's true. But, you know, a friend of mine who was very active in visiting relayed a story to me one time that's meant so much. He went to the hospital to make a visit, and he knocked on the door and opened it. And when he stuck his head in the door, he was in the wrong room.
Mm-hmm.
And he apologized and said, I was looking for so-and-so. And he started to leave, and the lady sitting there said, come on in, we need a preacher too. And the bottom line of that story, he ended up baptizing that entire family and several, I forget the exact number, but all because he made a visit, even though he went first to the wrong room. But it was at the right time.
And that's kind of interesting what that lady said. We need a preacher too.
That was what they were needing at that time.
You know, and how many people out there in need of a visit need a preacher? They need a friend. They need a Christian to come and just give them those words of encouragement, or just the encouragement of being present with them.
What they need is to feel that someone cares.
Can't we all, Frank, do better? You know, I've heard many times people complain, saying, well, nobody came and visited me in the hospital when I was there. And many times I'd like to ask them, how many people have you visited in the hospital? I think, Frank, that a lot of times that our failure in this regard is a detriment to our own personal spiritual growth, but also to the benefit of the kingdom. And, you know, in Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 34, Jesus here is discussing the parable of the sheep and the goats. It says, then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and ye gave me to eat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, or fed thee, or athirst, and gave thee drink? And when saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? And when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it unto one of these my brethren, even the least, ye did it unto me. There, Frank, is the power of visitation.
Absolutely. And there are two, kind of a two-way street. How many times have you made that visit and then went away feeling much better yourself?
Exactly right. Frank, time has just slipped up on us here. But we want to remember that there are going to be certain things that's going to happen this year. There's going to be life, new life into the world. There's going to be death of friends and loved ones. We're going to be involved in temptation, and various opportunities are going to be set before us. We're also realize that we need to make some New Year's resolutions, to be more serious in our Bible study, to be more diligent in the raising and teaching of our children, to be more zealous in our evangelism, and also to be more involved in visitation. And really, if you sum it all up, Matthew 6, verse 33 might sum up everything, doesn't it, Frank?
Absolutely.
And what does that say?
It tells us to put
seek
first
ye first.
First.
That's right.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God.
That's right. And then all these other things are going to be added unto us. It's been great to have you in our audience tonight. We hope that you were encouraged by these things tonight. And we want to encourage you to listen in tomorrow or next Monday. And you can listen in tomorrow at 7 a.m. on the Gospel Radio Network. You have been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through